He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you?
Hi folks, Bob Mang here with another episode of today's Survival Show, helping you harness the power of choice to live the life that you want to live on your own terms and to strengthen your resolve. Our goal is to make survival simple, not extreme, no conspiracy theories here. We just talk about common sense, practical ideas. Every once in a while, my opinion shines through a little, but I'll ask for your forgiveness for that in advance. When you do a show like this, it's awful tough not to inject your opinion. And by the way, it's okay to disagree with anything I say on this show. Just have a good reason for it, and I welcome comments. I welcome everybody's attitude towards this great subject of getting more prepared in our life and becoming a more secure person. So go ahead and send whatever you want comments. You can get on our forum, you can get on the webpage and send it through. But thank you for tuning in to episode number 40. 40 times now so far. It's a young show. August 3rd, I believe it was the date we did our first podcast. So it's kind of hard to believe I pressed this button 40 times and recorded a show, but I keep doing them because I keep getting a lot of listeners. You folks seem to keep sending in some positive feedback. So thank you very much, and welcome. It's Saturday, 21st of November. Thanksgiving is coming close. And, you know, with all the stuff, with all the bad stuff going on in this world, we still have a whole lot to be thankful for, ladies and gentlemen. So while you're thinking about the upcoming holiday season, remember all the excellent blessings that we have in this country that we can still be thankful for. And I hope that they are not stripped away from us any more than they already have been. This is still the greatest country in the world, in my opinion. No offense to any of my international listeners, because I've got quite a few international listeners. And I just want to say that this country, the United States of America, has given its citizens and the people who come here, the people who migrate here, the many millions of people that come here all the time, it has given them one of the greatest opportunities in the world. And we truly are blessed with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I know that some of you listening to this show, including me, are very worried that it could be taken away from us, and that those liberties that we have can be taken away from us. And very legitimate worries, I'd have to say. But I want to ask you, in preface to Thanksgiving holiday, stop, smell the roses, be thankful for the things that we have, and then let's all work real hard to try to keep that from being taken away from us. And some of it is just personal responsibility. We can take charge of our own life. And one of my mentors taught me to just take charge of your own life. As a matter of fact, he even recorded an entire series of cassette tapes back then that tells you how long ago it was, entitled Take Charge of Your Own Life. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about taking charge of your own life and being productive and things like that. Before we get into those, I do want to make a couple of announcements, and that is about our forum, todayssurvival.com/forum. Excellent place to interact. You can get quite an education just by looking at our forum. I don't care if you don't become a member. That's fine. If you're a little shy or self-conscious and don't want to put stuff out in the public domain, I understand that. But get on there and take a look. We've got like 20 or 30 different topics on just how to live a more secure life. And again, as I mentioned when I opened up the show, you're not going to see a whole lot of conspiracy stuff. Plenty of websites for that. Plenty of tinfoil hat type websites out there. People are talking about all kinds of things. things that, yeah, maybe it's possible to happen, but not quite likely. You're not going to see much of that on our forum or in this show, todayssurvival.com/forum, or you can go to todayssurvival.com and click the forum page. Also, just in case some of you didn't know, the show is on iTunes, and if you use an iPod and you want to just download it conveniently off of iTunes and throw it on your iPod, just go to the search feature and type in Today's Survival Show, and it'll definitely get there. You'll see all the episodes pop up right there in iTunes. So that concludes the announcements. I wanted to keep it short and sweet, but wanted to get that out there. And I want to let you know this is going to be kind of a short show because it is a Saturday, and I'm on the way to go practice my Second Amendment rights, heading out to an IDPA shooting match, International Defensive Pistol Association. And for some of you who don't know what that is, that's an excellent practical shooting club. It is open to the public, by the way. If you own a firearm for self-defense, especially if you have a concealed carry permit, for self-defense purposes, I would strongly recommend that you at least go to a few IDPA matches. You can get on to IDPA.com. You can find a club in your area. Put in your zip code on their website. You can find a club. Typically, most clubs meet every week, at least, sometimes every couple of weeks. Typically, they're on Saturdays. Sometimes they're on Sundays. They only take a few hours. I don't care if you've barely shot a handgun, but now you have your concealed carry permit. Trust me, folks, the training, the little bit of training that you get when you get that license is not enough. And IDPA is just good, practical firearms handling skills, and they really stress safety a lot. So let me just go ahead and put a plug in there for IDPA. There's another organization called USPSA, United States Practical Shooting Association. This is not a gun show. I didn't mean to start getting off on a tangent there, talking about firearms and stuff, but since I just happened to be headed out to a range to go do that, I just thought I would tell you a little bit about that. I strongly recommend it. All right, and so with that said, let's dive into the main topic matter of this episode, productivity. And that's, I called it one word, productivity, because it really defines us as people, how productive we are. And my mentor, you've heard me talk about him many times on this show, Tom Hopkins. There have been a couple of others, but he had one of the greatest influences on my life. Tom taught me 12 words when I was a young guy that impacted my life a lot. And as I started thinking about it, it made me realize that this applies a lot to the preparedness-minded lifestyle and just all around living a more secure life. And he taught me 12 words to live by. And I want to share these 12 words with you. And I want you to, if you have to, pause this and jot these down or type them up if you're using a computer or sitting near a computer right now or whatever. I don't know how you listen to this show or if you're working out or whatever. Just listen carefully, and when you get home, write this down. And guys, if you carry a wallet, write this down. Keep it in your wallet. Refer to it once in a while. Ladies, put this somewhere in your purse where you can get back to it. 12 words. 12 words to live by that completely changed my life. Here they are. I must do the most productive thing possible at every given moment. I must do the most productive thing possible at every given moment. Now, let's break that down a little bit. 12 words to live by. Let's talk about the first two words, I must. You notice that he didn't teach me that I should do the most productive thing possible at every given moment. He didn't say, I suggest, or he didn't make me say, I suggest I do the most productive thing, or that I think I should do the most productive thing, or it might be a good idea if I do the most productive thing possible. No. It says, I must do the most productive thing possible at every given moment. Now, we're going to break that down even a little bit more, but the thing is you've got to live by the philosophy that this is something that you must do. That there's not an option here. You might be wondering, well, what are productive things, right? And you might think, well, that's pretty subjective, Bob. Productivity means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and you're right about that. And I'll explain that when I get to that part of that sentence. But this is something that you have to develop, the burning desire inside and the obligation, and say to yourself that I must live this way. Okay, now let's talk about the next four words. Do the most productive. Right? Do the most productive. Now, what that infers is that you have to make a decision. There might be several options for you at that time that could be very productive activities for you to engage in. And I don't care if it's something like adding to your food storage or building on your first aid kit or going to a shooting match like I'm doing to improve your self-defense shooting skills. Whatever it is, whatever productive ideas come to your mind, if it's working on your water storage or if it's working on your garden, whatever it is, whatever productive ideas come to your mind, you have to make a decision. What is the most productive thing you can be doing? And again, you have to reconcile that back with your goals. If you haven't listened to my episode on smart survival goal setting, go back and listen to that and then come back to this podcast. You got to reconcile with your goals and say, all right, well, where am I falling a little bit short right now? Am I falling a little bit short on my water storage? Maybe that's the most productive thing that I should do right now. So making that all-important decision as far as what is the most productive thing you could be doing, that's very important. Now, let's talk about productivity. Let's talk about what is productive. I got pretty confused when I first heard this. And it actually took about 2 years for this to sink in. And as I started living by these 12 words, and I started telling myself I must do the most productive thing possible at every given moment, I realized that there were a lot of different things, depending on my current situation, as to what was actually productive. And I think you've heard me say this before, but ladies and gentlemen, sometimes taking a nap is the most productive thing you could do. Now, I'm serious. If you're dog tired, if you just can't function anymore because you're just so tired, go take a nap. Don't make fun of somebody if they have to take a nap. If in fact that is truly the most productive thing possible. Now, sometimes people just use that as an excuse because they're lazy, or sometimes they use it as an excuse to get out of a certain activity. And you really can't tell if somebody's using that as an excuse or not. But you know yourself, and you know that if you're dog tired and if you just can't move anymore, if you can't function, if you can't think, yeah, maybe taking a nap is the most productive thing you could do. Maybe spending some time with your kids is the most productive thing that you can do. Maybe sometimes work can wait. Maybe sometimes that phone call coming in can wait. Folks, you don't always have to answer your phone when it rings. Did you know that? Yeah, I have a hard time with that. I struggle with that a lot. All right, this cell phone, it's like an extension of my body. I feel like sometimes I can't do without this cell phone, and I have to learn to hit the decline button, or whatever that button is that I can push where I don't have to answer it right away, and it automatically puts it into voicemail. All right, folks, sometimes that phone call coming in is not the most productive thing. Maybe your child wants something. Maybe your spouse wants something. Maybe you're in the middle of a conversation. I've struggled with answering the phone sometimes during dinner time. All right, and the most productive thing I could probably be doing at dinner is not only sitting there eating my food, but also spending some good quality time with my family. Folks, sometimes we get so stressed out and life gets so busy and it tears us in so many different directions that the dinner table sometimes is the only time that families get to talk to each other. Sad, but true. So sometimes that's the most productive thing that you could be doing. So when that phone call comes in, when your buddy is calling in, or when your girlfriend's calling in, or when your boyfriend's calling in, or whatever, and you're sitting there, even if you're eating dinner alone, just hit the decline button. Call them back. Finish your dinner in silence and in peace. Or if you're at the dinner table with your family, finish your dinner and carry on that half an hour, 45-minute conversation, whatever it is, with your kids and your spouse during dinner time. Sometimes getting some good exercise can be one of the most productive things possible. I used to do a lot of my working out during my lunch hour. And the reason I used to do it during the lunch hour is because it kind of split my day up. Usually by the time lunchtime came around, it was getting kind of stressful in my work day. And it was a great way for me to release some of the work stress that I'd built up from about 7 o'clock in the morning until lunchtime. So I'd go work out and work off a bunch of stress. And it also helped, of course, kept me in shape. And I'd work off that stress, and I'd be fresh, and I'd be ready to go for the second half of the day. And then, of course, I'd feel hammered again by 5 o'clock because I'd get some more work stress, more customers calling me with problems and so forth. But I learned real quickly that breaking up that day for me, maybe not for you, but for me, breaking up that day with a good workout, that was the most productive thing I could do. And it would make the rest of my day a lot more productive as well. So see, productivity builds upon itself. And, you know, it's kind of like success. Success breeds more success. When you start doing productive things that at every given moment, you'd be amazed. Then, you know, then the next moment, you start looking for something else that's a productive thing to do. Okay, so don't forget, do the most productive. It means you got to make a decision as what's the best thing that you could be doing. Now, let's talk about the next word that comes after that. After I must, do the most productive thing possible. All right, so I guess it's two words that come after that. And what I'm trying to say is the most productive thing possible. All right, now that's a challenge right there. You have to determine what it is that's possible to do right now, because you might come up with something and say, you might say, hey, you know, the most productive thing that I could be doing right now, maybe it's just not quite possible to pull it off. All right, now when I think about this, when I think about what's the most productive thing possible, this makes me think about money. And, you know, there's a lot of preparations that those of us who are preparedness-minded people would like to purchase if it's something that we want to buy, but maybe we don't have the money. So even though that might be the most productive thing possible, maybe paying off a debt is more productive to do with that money right now anyway. And, of course, I would certainly encourage you to pay off that debt, because I hate debt. I hate debt with a passion. Debt is a killer. And I've often been asked the question, you know, what's more important, saving money or paying off debt? Well, that depends. Saving money is more important until you've got a $1,000 emergency fund. All right, because everybody needs to have a $1,000 emergency fund. Why? Why a $1,000 emergency fund? I'm borrowing this from Dave Ramsey, of course. The reason you have to have a $1,000 emergency fund is because most emergencies that take place in your life, most, not all, but most emergencies that take place that require you to go into debt, like put it on a credit card or whatever, are $1,000 or less. So if you got a $1,000 nest egg, at least so you can call that your bare minimum, again, folks, that's your bare minimum emergency fund, then you don't have to go into debt, you don't have to whip out a credit card, which you shouldn't have anyway. But if you do have credit cards and you got that $1,000 emergency fund, you can pay in cash for your emergencies. Keeps you from going into debt, reduces the likelihood of going into debt. And no, folks, if, I know you might be thinking right now, no, credit cards with a $1,000 credit line are not an emergency fund. I've had people ask, well, wouldn't Dave Ramsey approve, or Bob, wouldn't you approve of a credit card? I got a $5,000 credit line on this thing. Isn't that good enough for an emergency fund? No, it's not. You want to pay for your emergency in cash whenever possible, right? Credit cards are evil. Credit cards rack up interest. Credit cards are a ripoff. Most credit card companies are running a scam. And a credit card is you're asking for disaster, just plain and simple. Have the cash built up. Tear up those credit cards, cut them up, cancel the accounts. Don't worry about your credit score, because you don't need to have a good credit score to live a good life. And don't use those as an emergency fund. But after you've got that emergency fund, paying off debt is more important than saving money. So again, I would say save the money first. Get that $1,000 in the bank. I don't care what you have to do to get it there. And then start killing off the debt. Now, after the debt's paid off, yeah, then go back to saving money. And being wise with your money. But sometimes we have to make a decision. You know, do I buy a survival item, or do I save money? Do I go out and buy that generator, spend that $1,500 on a solar panel or whatever, or should I kill off this $237 balance that I've got on my Visa card? Kill off the $237 balance on the Visa card. Plain and simple. Even though you think it might be the most productive thing to get the generator or to get the solar panel, maybe in the long term, yes, that might be the most productive thing, I would tend to disagree. I think the most productive thing you could do, pay off that credit card bill, pay off whatever other bill that's out there. If you're behind on your electric bill or whatever, obviously, get that paid. That's the most productive thing possible. And again, you know, if you're sitting with $300 left in your checking account, it's not possible to go out and get that $1,500 solar panel. Even though that solar panel might be the most productive thing that you could do, it's not possible because your checking account balance is only $300. And the reason I'm going over this is I want to warn you against justifying spending a whole lot of money or a whole lot of time on doing something in preparation when it's just not possible or just not the most practical thing that you could be doing. Again, it's got to be based in common sense. It's got to be rooted in what is practical and feasible, and that's why I want to emphasize that word possible. Okay, now let's do a brief review before we get into the rest of it. So far, we've covered I must. Not I can or I should or I think I might, but I must do the most productive thing, whatever that is, whatever you think is the most productive thing possible. And then the last part of that is at every given moment. Now, that doesn't mean every minute of the day. I know it says at every given moment. It doesn't really mean every single minute. Now, here's what worked for me. And I don't know, it might not work for you. If it does work for you, great. And if it doesn't, break this down in a different way if you want. But what I did is I broke my day down into three moments, so to speak. All right, my moments were long, but I broke it down into three sections. I broke it down into the morning, the lunch hour, and then the afternoon and evening. And I lived by the philosophy of, all right, what's the most productive thing that I could be doing this morning? And then after that, what's the most productive thing that I could be doing here at lunchtime? And then after that, what's the most productive thing I could be doing in the late afternoon or the early evening? Culminated at the end of the day by doing what I think is the most productive thing, for me anyway, and that's a good night's sleep. But during my waking hours, I broke it down into three sections. The morning, the lunchtime, and then the afternoon and evening. Common sense, right? Well, that works for me. It might not work for you, and if it doesn't, you want to break it down differently. But I guess what I'm trying to say is at every given moment doesn't mean at every single minute, because that's just impossible. You'll drive yourself crazy always trying to be productive every single minute of the day. But what I would do is I would say, all right, what's the most productive thing that I could be doing this morning? Monday through Friday, it usually involves work. And for me, because I'm in sales, normally I like to make a lot of phone calls in the morning because I'm fresh. Hopefully my customers are fresh, and it's usually easy to catch people before they get into their office or before they start getting out on their job sites. Typically, it's easier to catch them in the morning. Sometimes I catch them when they're in their vehicles, on their cell phone, on the way to their job site. So for me, the workday, mornings, most productive thing possible. Saturday mornings, I found that Saturday mornings, not every single one, but oftentimes, as with today, one of the most productive things I can do is to go out and practice my shooting skills, because not only is it good self-defense training, but, you know, it's also recreation. It's also a mind escape. And, you know, for me, maybe for you it is, I don't know, but find some activities that are a mind escape for you. Everybody has got to have some kind of a hobby, some kind of outlet. It's my firm belief that there's something that interests you. There has to be. That's just the way we are. That's the way human beings are built. We have things that interest us that are fun. And, you know, fun is productive, folks. You know, one thing that frustrates me is there's a lot of people that don't seem to have a whole lot of fun sometimes with survivalism or with preparedness or even with just, you know, working hard and living a productive life. It is a blast. And I want you to engage in things that are fun. And sometimes we do have to take our mind off of thinking about all this stuff. What could happen? Oh my gosh, you know, I did that show about the site threat awareness response. And sometimes I find myself thinking, all right, what are all the threats? What are the things that could be happening to me in the site that I'm in right now, where I'm at? Ugh, sometimes I just have to drop all that and go have some fun. Saturday mornings are my getaway, folks. That's how I get away. And I just, you know, I've found that just going there and shooting at paper targets, just it's a lot of fun. It gets my mind off of some of the problems. I get to take out some of my frustrations. Don't worry, I'm safe. You might be thinking, boy, this guy's a nutbag, right? He's got a gun in his hand. He's going out and taking out frustrations. No, it's not like that. Don't start thinking that. But it's a fun activity for me, taking my son out fishing. We like to do that on Sunday afternoons. Not every Sunday, but that's a fun thing to do, right? There's a great fish pond not too far from my house in Frisco, Texas, stocked with a lot of largemouth bass. It's fun. It's a way to get out there, enjoy a little bit of the outdoors, which I don't seem to get enough chance to do. And you've got to engage in that. So sometimes that's the most productive thing that you could be doing. And it doesn't mean knock off of work at 1 o'clock and go have fun the rest of the day. All right, that might not be the most productive thing either because your boss might get mad at you. But it doesn't hurt sometimes to take 30 minutes or so every day and just do something that's fun or do something that's a mind escape. Something that just gets you thinking about something other than your work day. And of course, that's why I say I used to break up my day, with a workout during the lunch hour. I've been slacking off on that lately. So doing this show is reminding me I need to get back into that. So define those moments any way you want. But again, for me, it worked real good chopping my day up into three pieces like I just described. Okay, now, since I just got done talking about some fun stuff, let me throw out some more suggestions. Sometimes doing the most productive thing also might be something that you really don't want to do. It might not be fun. As a matter of fact, it might be dreadful, it might be treacherous, it might be something that you're just really not looking forward to, but it is the most productive thing that is possible for you to do at that time. And, you know, we all know that sometimes we have to engage in negative things and engage in things that we don't like. But in the long run, we're thankful we had to do it. Recently, I had to call up a family member who was abusing another family member of mine, and I had to ask them to stop that, please. Otherwise, they were going to face some wrath from me. And I think it got through to them. And I think that person has decided they're not going to verbally abuse my family member anymore. I thought at that time that was the most productive thing that I could do. Alright, because it just wasn't right. Not only was what this person was doing not right, not only was it not moral, not ethical, but it was something that was affecting me and my family, and it needed to be stopped. Alright, it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't pleasant for me to do. It was a difficult phone call for me to call this person up and give them a piece of my mind. I did it tactfully. I didn't cuss and I didn't swear. I did it tactfully, but I got my point across that that's not acceptable. And if they continued to do that, they were going to face some of my wrath, and they were going to not get some very kind reaction from me in the future. I guess that's the best way that I can put it. It got through to them, and they've stopped what they were doing. So even that could be the most productive thing. And sometimes people need intervention, folks. You know, we as humans, sometimes we just get carried away sometimes with ourselves. This world's very stressed out right now. It's amazing. People are very edgy right now. I think, you know, obviously lots of it has to do with the economy. Lots of it has to do with the world situation that we're in, with the tensions, with the violence and stuff that's going on. And again, a lot of negative stuff out there I don't want to dwell on. But people are edgy. People are nervous. They're very touchy. And it seems now that's worse than it ever has been. And sometimes intervention is necessary. So in that case, it was important. I had to intervene to get that person to stop doing what they were doing. I would strongly recommend that you exercise caution when you do that and think it through in advance. Because one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to escalate a problem that's already there. So keeping yourself cool and calm. And I find that whenever I have to intervene and whenever I have to say something to somebody that's not very pleasant, one thing that I might want to suggest to you in that point that really helped me out with this situation is I carry around a digital recorder with me. I actually have two of them. One of them I use to do these podcasts, and the other one that I use to record my ideas. And when an idea pops into my head, I record it. Well, I pulled out my digital recorder. And I spoke to the recorder what I wanted to say to this other person. And, you know, I had to record it four different times before I got it right. And then I played that recording back to myself twice before I even made that phone call. So you can get digital recorders very cheap. I would strongly suggest you at least do that or write it down. Okay, now something else that I want to say about doing the most productive thing possible at every given moment. Sometimes it might not be possible for you to figure out what's the most productive thing possible that you could do at that moment. Again, however you break up your day, that's what the moments are. So if you can't figure it out, I would suggest that you seek the advice of somebody else and ask them, well, what do you think is the most productive thing that I could be doing at this moment? You know, it's kind of like the other day when I did that show, Don't Worry, Get Busy. And I was talking about confiding in others what your worries are. You can do the same thing with productivity. People that you know, people that you trust, friends, relatives, people that you're close to, and of course if they do you wrong and they intentionally do you wrong, then you can cross them off your trust list and don't talk to that person anymore. But sometimes it's as simple as asking your spouse and even asking your kids, you know, what do you think is the most productive thing that dad could be doing right now? What do you think the most productive thing is that mom could be doing right now? Or ask your spouse, honey, what do you think the most productive thing I could be doing right now? Sometimes we get so stressed out. Sometimes we get so preoccupied with what's going on. It's hard for us to reason and figure out what it is the most productive thing. And sometimes a cooler head can prevail and somebody else might have a good idea for you. Now, if you're going to do that, if you're going to ask people what's the most productive thing that you could do, they give you a good idea, be open-minded to it, and carry it out. Try it. You never know. You never know where it might go. So confide in others. Seek the counsel. Seek the help of others, especially when you get into a frustrated state. Okay, and the next thing that I want to talk about doing the most productive thing possible is ask yourself, can I reconcile this activity that I'm about to do with keeping that all-important balance in my life? I don't know if you recall, I did a show called Balancing Your Life. I think that was 6 or 7 weeks ago I did that show, and I talked about the five areas that you have to keep your life in balance that my mentor taught me: emotional, physical, financial, spiritual, and organizational balance. Well, you know, ask yourself, is what I'm about to do going to create more balance or less balance in my life? Is it going to cause more stress or is it going to help bring some of the worry that I have down? It's really important. You know, it's kind of like a scale. If you put too much on one side of the scale, it flips whatever's on the other side off of it. And we have a tendency sometimes to do that with our life. So even though you're trying to figure out what's the most productive thing, make sure it's not going to push you out of balance. And there's a few more tips that I wanted to share with you on that I didn't get a chance to cover in the last show that I did on balancing. And I want to share with you 10 ideas that I've got on how to achieve that all-important balance. And this also ties into the main theme of this show on productivity. So here's what I've come up with. Number one, as far as 10 ideas for helping balance all aspects of your life. Number one, make an appointment with yourself. Banish from your mind that the idea that everyone else takes precedence over you. Don't use your organizer or your calendar just for appointments with others, but also start making some appointments with yourself. Give yourself some prime time. Regularly do something that you enjoy and that's fun, like I was talking about before. It's going to recharge your batteries. And once you've put yourself on your own calendar, guard those appointments. Hold those appointments with yourself precious and don't let other things interfere with yourself. Save some time for yourself. Many times, and I'm guilty of this, folks, sometimes I get too much into helping other people and I'm neglecting me and my own family. Be careful with that. Number two, care for your body. You know, I did a whole show on exercising and caring for your body. Having a high energy level it's a trait that a lot of highly successful people possess, and it's something very important for keep maintaining your productivity as well. And it doesn't matter, whatever your present level of energy is, you can increase it by just doing a couple things. And this has helped me. I'm not just pulling this out of the air. This is something that's helped me a lot. Keeping your energy level up, a couple of things I thought of. First of all, don't skip meals. Make sure you're eating. Your physical and your mental energy depend on your nourishment. And if you're not eating regularly, it can cause your temper to flare. It can cause more depression. It can cause lack of creativity and make you nervous. So don't skip meals. It's a bad habit that sometimes I get into, and I notice that when I'm keeping myself regularly, I eat about 4 or 5 times a day, folks. That's something that's recommended by a lot of doctors and a lot of fitness experts. And of course, speaking about fitness, exercising over and over again, highly successful, productive people, they talk about the benefits of exercise in their routines. I don't need to get into that in real detail, but as I mentioned to you, those lunch hour workouts have helped me a lot. And also rest. In caring for your body, rest is very important. Now, I want to share with you something about sleep and rest. I have sleep apnea. I have to use a CPAP machine every day. But I've noticed that when I stay regular by using that machine, and I take some sleep medications, some safe stuff, by doing that, a good night's sleep is just, I can't tell you how important it is for productivity. And I noticed that when I get a little slack, when I don't use my machine, sometimes I just don't want to put that stupid mask on. You know, sometimes it's just, it's not fun, folks, sleeping with that thing. No matter how much you get used to it, it's just not fun. And sometimes I stay up a little bit too late at night, and I get up the next morning and I'm just lethargic. And like I mentioned, that's why I said early on in the show, sometimes just taking a good nap is productive and it's caring for your body. Okay, number three for keeping yourself in balance, cut yourself some slack. Cut yourself a break. You don't have to do everything for everybody. And my mentor taught me a long time ago, he said, don't be a slave to your inbox. Think about that. Some of us are a slave to what's in that inbox. Everybody wants a piece of you. I've mentioned it before. Everybody wants to slurp you. They want to use you as much as they can, and they will. And you can't let them get away with that. Just because there's something that needs to be done, it doesn't mean that you just have to do it right at that time. But sometimes you just have to relieve yourself of all the responsibilities and just pace yourself and do it at your own speed. You're never going to become 100% efficient, and nor should you expect to be. That's too much pressure to put on yourself. All you have to ask yourself is, did I do my best? And if you did your best, just accept the outcome. All you can do is all you can do. All right? The fourth thing I thought about adding to the part on balance is blurring some of the boundaries that you have. Some very successful people achieve balance by setting aside times or days for family, recreation, and hobbies and things. They create boundaries around certain activities and they protect them. And other individuals who are successful do the opposite. They blur the boundaries. And here's an example of what I'm talking about, blurring the boundaries. One way to do that is to involve people that you care about in what you do. For example, there are employers who encourage employees to bring their spouse to conferences and meetings, for example. All right, take advantage of that. My company does that. They encourage bringing our spouses to off-site meetings, and sometimes some of the off-site meetings are in really cool places. It's a good idea to do that. It's a really good idea to do that. If the people who mean a lot to you understand what you do, they can share more fully in your experiences and your successes, and of course they're going to be able to share in your failures and help prop you up and help you come up with good ideas to make you productive. All right, number five, take a break. A lot of therapists believe that taking a break from a work routine can have major benefits for your mental and your physical health. Just kind of take a step back sometimes. Here's something that's worked for me. About every couple of weeks, I just schedule one day with no agenda. All right, I don't put any appointments, no agenda, no nothing on that day that's pre-planned and scheduled. I just take what comes. And you'd be amazed. Some really productive things will come to you. Okay, number six for balancing your life. Take the road less traveled. Here's what I mean by that. Occasionally, get off the freeway and take a side road. All right, and I mean that literally and figuratively. That road might just take you somewhere interesting. Just experiment, right? You're driving down the freeway. Just say, hey, I think I'm going to take this road. Just go. You'd be amazed. That might just take you somewhere interesting, someplace you've never been before, and you just might learn something. It also might take you to the library or to the golf course. All right? I mean, I'm kind of making a point there. Maybe sometimes just taking a side trip, go to the library, read something, go hit the links, go tee it up and just go have some fun. Do something out of the ordinary to avoid some of the well-worn grooves and ruts that we sometimes get into. Also, just take a different route to your job. All right, take some different roads, change it up a little bit. Turn on a different radio station. Turn on a different podcast. Turn on today's Survival Show podcast. You know, break out of your mold occasionally with a new way, a new way to dress. Put on some different types of clothes. You know, get a different hobby. Sometimes the road less traveled can be a reward for a demanding event. You know, maybe a carrot that you use to reward yourself, and it can be a good way to kind of loosen up also before some big event that could be happening in your life. Number 7, be still. Sometimes just being still and being quiet and doing nothing, sometimes that can help you center your life a little bit. And just by listening to what's going on around you, sometimes things come to you, answers come to you that wouldn't otherwise come to you because you're too darn busy. The way you use your solitary time should match your values and your beliefs and your temperament. And I know some people that devote regular time each day to visualize themselves attaining their goals. I do that about once a week. I know some people that read, some pray, some meditate, some do yoga or something like that. Or some just contemplate sunrises and sunsets. Whatever form being still takes, I don't care. But time spent alone with yourself can have an enormous payoff. So don't neglect you, and that's kind of what I meant by putting yourself, setting an appointment with yourself. Set an appointment to be still. Number 8, be what I call a peacetime patriot. And what I mean by that is just do something for the greater good. Maybe you set up some kind of an organization, or you volunteer for underprivileged children or something like that. Or maybe you do some pro bono work if you're an attorney. Or if you're not, maybe you just give something back through your church or through a hospital or a civic club or some alumni organization, whatever. But be a peacetime patriot. Do something to where you're giving back. There's a lot of powerful rewards for balancing your personal interests with the needs of the common good out there. And one of the most wonderful experiences that you can have is the sheer joy that can come from giving. And I like to use a phrase, you know, sometimes I want to give something to somebody and they say, oh, no, you don't have to do that, Bob. That's okay. I stop them and I say, please don't rob me of my joy of giving. All right, so be a peacetime patriot. Number 9, do what you love to do. If you're doing something that you hate, if you're in a job that you hate, start setting some goals to get out of it. And I know this is a tough work environment right now. We are with the high unemployment and everything. Right now, I know a lot of you are just thankful to have a job. Me too. I'm just thankful to have a job. I'm just saying, set some goals to start doing what you love to do. And even if it's part-time, even if you're going to do something part-time that's going to propel you to something that you really, really want to do. I've always said, work is what you're doing when you'd rather be doing something else. And it's been a long time since I've worked. I've mentioned this before, but I really, really enjoy what I'm doing. I am a little bit worried that that my company could do some laying off. And so I'm preparing myself for that, and I'm organizing my preps just in case that happens. But I really do enjoy what I'm doing. And if you don't, if you're miserable, if you get up every day and you're miserable, set some goals. Set that appointment with yourself to say, hey, I'm going to start doing something part-time that's what I really love doing, because that's what gets you excited. And the last one, and I'll conclude the show with this, focus on strategy. And what I mean by focusing on strategies, I want you to ask yourself the what for question. The what for question. The what for question should be asked about the life you live. In other words, you should be asking yourself, what am I doing this for? As important as it is, how to save time for balancing your life is not the ultimate question, really. The really ultimate question is, what am I saving time for? Strategy has to do with being successful, but successful at what? If others pay your salary, being strategic generally means convincing them that you're spending your time in a way that benefits them. But ask yourself, what exactly am I doing? What's the end result? What is the reason why I'm doing this? That's the question that I want you to ask. And that will help you get more productive. It will help you bring more balance into your life. Okay? And if there's a dispute about how you should use your time, take a step back, ask the what for question. What am I doing this for? And then the answer will come to you, and it'll kind of give you an idea of whether that's something that you should prioritize or not. So there's 10 more little tidbits of ideas that I came up with on how to balance yourself, how to balance your work, your family life, your social life. And it'll ultimately help you become more productive. So, with that, I must do the most productive thing possible at every given moment. And right now, the most productive thing possible that I could be doing is to sign off, post this to the blog, and post this podcast onto the internet for all of you to listen to it. And so thank you for listening to episode 49. Excuse me, what am I saying? Episode 40. You see, the most productive thing possible is for me to sign off now because my brain is starting to fade. Thank you for listening to episode 40. This is Bob Main of Today's Survival Show, helping you harness the power of choice to live the life that you want to live as productive as possible, and to strengthen your resolve. We make survival simple, not extreme. We help you thrive today so that you can survive tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point to not where he's going to, isn't